We've got a huge party here in the studio right now because we are joined by four different guests. We've got Eleanor Landis, who is the director of the Campus and Community Coalition. That's the first 12th of your job title, right? Campus and Community Coalition.
To reduce the negative impacts of high-risk drinking.
Right. And we've got a parent education campaign that's been going on called A Conversation Worth Having. It involves the Campus and Community Coalition, but also many, many other organizations. So we're also joined by Scarlett Steiner. She's the Director of Athletics and Healthful Living for the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School District. Jim Ugarich is the Chapel Hill Town Ombudsman. And Jim Wise is the Student Assistance Program Specialist, or SAPS for short, I guess, at Chapel Hill High School. Eleanor, Scarlett, Jim, thank you so much for being here in the studio today.
Thank you, Aaron.
And I have no idea who's the expert on what. So tell us about the parent education campaign. It's called A Conversation Worth Happening. It's kind of coming to a close now, so we're talking about it, but it's going to go on beyond the official end date. So what is it? What does it entail? Everyone's pointing at Eleanor. So.
Yeah, I'll take this one.
Everyone's going to be pointing at you for literally every question. Uh-huh. They're just there as like the pips, I think.
Yeah.
Backup dancers.
So A Conversation Worth Having comes from an effort to produce an evidence-based campaign that really targets parents, because research tells us that parents are actually a leading influence in kids' decisions about alcohol and drugs. And so we said in order to have the most effective message, we need to get into parents' ears. And so what we did is put together, like I said, this evidence-based campaign comes from research and data from across the country, and we asked a lot of partners to be a part of it with us. And so we've got a lot of community organizations participating.
So what constitutes an evidence-based campaign? And that's a kind of a generic question, but I've heard like data-driven, evidence-based. What is that?
Right. So all of the strategies and all of the data that parents will see in these messages come from research. Mm-hmm. So even if it's a strategy like keep conversations brief, someone has done the study that says this is the best way to have conversations with your kids about tough subjects like alcohol.
And we're talking to parents specifically because parents are extremely influential in shaping the decision that kids make or not make about drinking, right?
We have a lot of research that tells us that. And one of the things, of course, with teenagers especially, is they're not going to say, thanks, Mom and Dad, you know, for telling
me
that.
Right.
But we know when we see them in school that their actions are reflecting the messages they're receiving. And one of the biggest things is if they're not receiving information, they're going to fill that gap with whatever seems to suit them. So in absence of a conversation, the parent's going to be leaving the gap open for the kid to make their own decision. And so we think it's really important. We came at this from it's not when your kid is going to have, it's when, it's not if your kid is going to have these conversations or have these opportunities to interact with alcohol at some point in their life.
Mm-hmm. And that's Jim Wise, you just heard from Chapel Hill High School. So as someone who's at Chapel Hill High School, you've got to see the effects of the good conversations or the lack of conversations all the time.
A lot of times, yeah, it's really clear when you're talking to a young person. And one of the things I always ask them, well, where do your parents come down on this issue? Do you have a thought on that? And a lot of times, you know, they have received messages, at least to some sort. Maybe the parents aren't even having it's not a long, drawn out, you know, production conversation. It's lots of little short messages about here's what we believe, here's what we think's important, here are the facts about your brain. And we know brain development resonates with young people and it resonates with parents. And that's really where a lot of the research comes down, talking about brain effects of alcohol.
Jim Wise is with Chapel Hill High School. Scarlett Steiner, you're with the district in general, and I want to turn it over to you because a lot of times we start thinking about having these conversations with students when they're in high school, but it's important to have these conversations with kids in middle school and elementary school as well, right?
Absolutely, and we actually had that conversation in this committee about how young we were going to send the message to parents and decided we would send it to K-12 because research shows that the younger you start having those conversations, the better the kids understand. And of course, you want to have those conversations all through a kid's life, not just when they're in middle school. And one of the research tells us that really parents sometimes think or their perception about things are important. And so we really want to try to give them as much research base as to why you need to talk to your kids and educate them. So that was the premise for needing to get information to parents as to why you need to be talking to your kids. Because a lot of people really think that, well, I don't want to tell my elementary kid about drugs or about alcohol because that's going to give them the idea to go do it if they're a rebellious kind of kid. And that is not what research shows us. It's actually just the opposite, that if parents are having those conversations around anything that, you can be around religion, around drugs, around alcohol, around any topic that kids are talking about, kids are going to find out somewhere. And you want those conversations to be happening in your home from parents.
And we've got the Campus and Community Coalition involved. We've got the district involved. We've also got the town of Chapel Hill involved as well. So, Jim Huergerich, over to you. It's Chapel Hill's role in this and the importance of a conversation like this in terms of making Chapel Hill and just the community a better place.
Yes, Aaron, one of the challenges in the community is that we think that our young folks are having these discussions at school or at churches or communities of faith or wherever they might be, but the primary dialogue really is in the home, and so parents can't assume that they're getting it somewhere else, or where they're getting it might not be very effective. And one of the things that the town frequently will see are the ramifications of some bad choices and some good choices. And there's three primary decisions that young people, teenagers, have to make and will make. And one involves sexuality, another involves automobiles, and the third involves drugs and alcohol. And so parents really need to have those dialogues, those dinner table discussions with their children before they have them with their peers.
Speaking with Jim Huergerich, you just heard him, Jim Wise, Scarlett Steinert, and Eleanor Landis, all from a bunch of different organizations who all came together for this parent education campaign called A Conversation Worth Having. Eleanor, how many parents did you reach in terms of this ongoing campaign?
Yeah, ongoing, and we're working to figure that out. So we know that we've gotten a pretty good reach via social media, but one of the things that we did really intentionally, we know that parents are busy, and we know that parents are inundated with a lot of messages from a lot of different sources. So what we did is we partnered with community organizations that have already earned parents' trust, and we asked those community organizations to be a part of getting the message out, because the idea is we want these conversations to happen in places where parents already feel comfortable. And so by engaging these community organizations, it allowed us to broaden our reach, but it also allowed us to have these message deliverers that parents already trusted.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gotten, I think, a pretty far reach.
Okay, so that's the campaign. That's the importance of parents talking to their kids about drugs and alcohol as early as elementary school. So let's talk about what parents should be saying and how to have that conversation. And let's start with elementary school. What should the message be and how should you be having it?
So
Jim Wise.
You can talk about just, you know, basically what is alcohol, what does it do to you, and those kinds of things. And to talk about brain development kinds of things, even at a young age, and to be saying to them, at a very young age, it doesn't have to be a long, complicated conversation, but, you know, and if they have a family member or something where they can see, what's going on and modeling it. And that's the other big thing with parents is, what is the behavior you're modeling?
Mm-hmm.
So you may be enunciating with your voice one message, but if your behavior at social events or family gatherings is showing and demonstrating something different, that's also very important to be kind of walking the walk as well as talking the talk there. Yeah.
You mentioned model behavior. You also mentioned like the short, quick conversation. And Eleanor, I know you mentioned that too. That's for elementary school students, but also all the way up, right? Like a really short conversation can have a big impact.
Absolutely. We want to always connect the drinking also back to the brain and what it does to the brain, and connecting. We do a lot of, physical activity connected to the brain, and what does math do connected to the brain, and all those conversations that we have with kids in education. How does alcohol affect the brain? So really base it on the scientific evidence of what alcohol does to the teenage brain or to the young kid's brain or even to the 18-year-old brain. So you want to always, we gave them tons of brain information about how alcohol affects the brain, and I think that's a real important piece that a lot of people always, they'll say, well, they'll bring up Europe and other countries that have a younger drinking age, and so we always want to relate that back to the brain and what 14-year-old brain might, what alcohol does to a 14-year-old brain versus what alcohol does to a 25-year-old brain. Mm-hmm. So you always want to have those statistics
and
ready to teach them.
Speaking of 14-year-olds, let's talk about middle school. What should you be telling your kids in middle school? Everyone's pointing. Everyone's pointing. You can't see this on the air, but as soon as I ask a question, four fingers go in different directions.
In middle school, it's really nice that all through middle school, they're getting health in school. Mm-hmm. So you can start the conversation in terms of what are you learning? You can ask, you know, and parents can ask the interesting questions of what are you learning in school? What are you learning in health class? And sometimes you can let the young person kind of share what do they know. So turning it around and saying, letting them be the expert and say, mm-hmm. well, can you tell me about this? What have you learned about this? Or maybe we can learn about it together. It's a kind of thing, it's not homework, but it's, if we're interested in this, what is it important for us to know about this? But the brain impacts, again, start to really resonate because academic performance is so highly valued in this community. When you can talk about shrinking the size of your hippocampus and reduction of 33% of your memory recall ability with continued drinking, that's something with, I say to kids, so do you want to trade in your new phone or computer for one that's 33% slower and has 33% less memory? And, mm-hmm. and they start to think about that and they go, maybe that's not it. Mm-hmm. The impacts on mental health, the impacts on relationships, legal implications, impact on getting into higher education. So there's a lot of things that you can start in middle school and say, hey, party doesn't have to mean alcohol. Party yep. can mean a lot of things. That's the other thing I try to do is challenge them to don't let someone else define what's fun for you. You and your friends are smart, you're creative. So go and use that energy and do. There's a lot of kids having a lot of fun and they're not using alcohol. That's one more thing, is our numbers are getting better over time and we're excited about that. And it's because education in schools, the conversations parents are having, some of the community efforts in terms of reducing access. So it's really a public health campaign that's taking years, and it's going to continue to take years to get where we want it to be.
Yeah, I got to mention the rate of underage drinking is dropping, right? And that's A, got a lot to do with campaigns like this, but also B, really good because there's a lot of peer pressure involved, and you get the sense that everyone's drinking, but that's actually never been the case and is even less the case now than it ever was.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a real part of talking with middle schoolers, Aaron, is that what folks think is normal is what young people think is normal is not normal. And so it's important to mm-hmm. show them the data to say, this is what's normal here in our community. This is what the surveys indicate. And there's two things that we want to look at middle schoolers doing is, one is how to cope. How do you cope with your peers? How do you cope with challenges in your life? How do you problem solve? So coping and problem solving, and then we link that with alcohol, because a lot of folks think I can use alcohol or other drugs to cope or to problem solve, and that's not what the science indicates.
Yeah. So how about high school? You've got a kid in high school. You definitely want to be talking with them about drinking. What do you say? How do you say it?
There's some great strategies at the high school level. So the first is sort of to piggyback on what Jim said. Peer pressure is a real thing. And so starting in middle school, but continuing into high school, you want to arm your high schooler with strategies to help deal with that peer pressure. And so walking through specific examples of, if someone offers you a drink, what are you going to say in response? No, my mom would kill me is a great one. Let the parent be the fallback, or no, I'm training for sports, or just a flat out, no, I don't drink. So helping your young person find strategies. And then there's one specific strategy that we highlighted in the campaign that, again, helps parents, or helps, gives parents a tool to help their kids out if they get into an uncomfortable situation. And this is something called the X plan. And so say young person is out at a party, they find themselves in an uncomfortable conversation, they text their parent or family member the letter X, and parent and family or parent family member knows immediately, that means that my young person is in an uncomfortable situation, calls the young person, says, hey, let me come pick you up. I'll explain when I get there why you need to go. Young person then has an easy way out of the situation. And you discuss the norms as a family, you know, are questions asked? Is it a no questions asked kind of situation? But giving your young person the opportunity to get it out of an uncomfortable conversation, because like we say in the campaign, it is not if, but when your young person will encounter these decisions.
Speaking with Eleanor Landis, Scarlett Steiner, Jim Hugerich, and Jim Wise. And we got to wrap up here, but what else do people need to know? And where can people go to find out more information? Because this is really important for every parent, I think.
Yeah, all of our campaign materials are found on a website. So it's downtownchapelhill.com/parent-campaign is where all of these materials are hosted. And we're also on Facebook. It's the Chapel Hill Campus and Community Coalition is hosting all of these. But one thing that I would stress in this context is, while the Campus and Community Coalition is hosting this stuff, we are the facilitator, and all of these different community organizations have been integral parts of making this campaign a success. And the last thing I'll say is that this is a conversation worth having. It's an intentional name, and it doesn't stop here. We are hoping that this is a beginning of many, many more conversations to come.
DowntownChapelHill.com, the website, DowntownChapelHill.com/parent-campaign. That's right. So go there and find out more. Again, Eleanor, Jim, Scarlett, thank you so much for being here today. And thank you for all the work that you've done on this.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you
for having us.